بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. اللهم زدنا علما كثيرا وفقها في الدين وعملا متقبلا يا أرحم الراحمين. وصلى الله على محمد وآله وصحبه وسلم، ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله وهو العلي العظيم. أما بعد، Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Beloved brothers in Islam, today is our 25th class in a series regarding the discussion of the fiqh of tahara. And we are continuing in the chapter of the wudu in the book Bulugh al-Maram min Adillat al-Ahkam. And we have a new hadith today, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. And we'll read the hadith together. And inshallah, after that, we'll go over the commentary of one of the noble ulama, Shaykh Atiyah Muhammad Salim, may Allah have mercy upon him, who was one of the shurrah of this book. He gave a commentary, and a very beautiful commentary, inshallah, we'll share with each other today, bi-idhnillah. So we'll start out with the hadith. وَعَنْ أَبِي هُرَيْرَةَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ إِذَا اسْتَيْقَظَ أَحَدُكُمْ مِنْ نَوْمِهِ فلا يغمس يده في الإناء حتى يغسلها ثلاثا فإنه لا يدري أين باتت يده. متفق عليه. Hadith is agreed upon by both Bukhari and Muslim. The translation of the hadith, Abu Huraira, may Allah be pleased with him, narrated that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when one of you wakes up from sleep, let him not place his hands into the container of water until he has washed his hands three times. He must not put his hands in the container until he has washed it three times. He has washed his hands three times, for indeed he does not know where his hands had spent the night. Aina batat yadahu. He doesn't know where his hands spent the night. This hadith is a very authentic hadith narrated by Bukhari and Muslim. Now the first question, what the hadith is saying is, of course, when one wakes up and they were sleeping, that if you have a container of water, then dipping your hands in the water is not allowed. The Prophet is forbidding that. And of course, we understand that this will cause all of the water to become impure if one had impurity on his hands. But let us look at this hadith and try to understand the fiqh of the hadith before we talk about the wisdom behind it. Is this when we wake up, the hadith says, if one of you wakes up, he should wash his hands three times. Does this refer to any sleep, if somebody takes a nap during the day, or is it only the when you wake up in the morning? Say only in the morning. Why only in the morning? Should be any sleep, even if you wake up, if you're sleeping and take a nap in the daytime? Any sleep, you have to wash. See, this is something very amazing. The fuqaha, they look at the details and the subtleties of the hadith. Pay attention to the hadith. I'll read it to you again and see if you find a clue that tells you which kind of sleep it is. If one of you wakes up from his sleep, then do not let him dip his hands in the container until he washes them three times, because he does not know where the hand spent the night. See this? There's the end of the hadith, it gives you the clue that this is only referring to when you spend the night sleeping. The night, when one spends the night, batat in Arabic, it means spending the night. So this is an important point. The fuqaha, whenever we look at any of the narrations, we can't ignore any of the words. Every word, it has a meaning. Every word is very important in understanding the hadith. So the question now, or the wisdom, if somebody wakes up from his sleep, why does he have to wash his hands before he puts it in the container? Of course, some people, they might think right away that the perhaps his hands touched something impure. And this is what many, or some ulama, they said this is the reason, that his hands, maybe he touched his private part. Or in fact, in Medina, where this hadith was spoken, they didn't have water. It was a very hot climate, And oftentimes they didn't have water, so they would have to use the dry cleansing from the call of nature. They would have to use stones, istijmar. So that would leave some impurity on the body. And if the hand happened to pass that place during sleep, then it could lead to polluting the hands. And then if one put that in the water, it would pollute the water. So of course, Islam, from the wisdom of hygiene and cleanliness, so that one doesn't ruin the water for everyone else or even for himself, to rinse the hands first before dipping his hands in the water. And a person, one of the ulama, they said that, one person, he said, why should I wash my hands? Because when I go to bed, I put one hand under my head and the other on my side. And so Allah tested him, but he woke up one morning and he found his hand in a bad place. So he realized the wisdom. Other scholars, they said that we don't always know the wisdom behind the ahadith. So yes, it's true that maybe there was for the people in Medina, and it might not apply for other people. They have clothing. But the fuqaha, they say the best thing whenever we have a hadith is to follow it as best as we can and submit to it, even if we don't always know the wisdom. And they said even if a person wore gloves or wrapped his hands, he should still follow the hadith, because this is safer for our religion. Right? If somebody always looking for the wisdom or the hikmah and he doesn't find it, and then he turns away from the sharia, or he turns away from the sunnah, this is not submission, this is not Islam. Those people who question the sharia all the time, what is the wisdom, I don't see the wisdom, I'm not going to follow it, then this is not the reality of istislam. Islam means submission. So from this hadith, the Prophet ﷺ, he said, when you wake up from sleep to wash the hands, if we completely submit to it, not questioning, oh, these days we wear clothes, we don't have to do it, but we should still follow the ruling of the sharia, and this will be, one will always be safe in his religion if he does that. After submitting to it, then we can search for the wisdoms. Because of course we know there's wisdoms. We might not always see it, but we'll find the hikmah in the sharia. And we're going to see that in the next hadith, inshaAllah ta'ala. So let's read the next hadith, inshaAllah.
وعن لقيط ابن سبورة or ابن سبورة قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أسبغ الوضوء وخلل بين الأصابع وبالغ في الاستنشاق إلا أن تكون صائما أخرجه الأربعة.
This hadith, we'll read the translation inshallah ta'ala. It was narrated by Laqit ibn Sabra. And the Prophet, he narrates that the Prophet ﷺ said, when you perform wudu, then asbir al-wudu, which means to perfect it, to cover the limbs completely. Sibagh, it means to cover completely. And khalil al-asabi', and run your fingers between the spaces, between your fingers, and between your toes. And also, sniff water into the nose a lot. Balig. To go to an extreme in sniffing water into the nose, unless illa an takuna sa'ima, unless you are fasting. Now let us look at each part of the hadith and reflect on the wisdom and the fiqh of this hadith. This hadith is one of the most important in the chapter of wudu, and the reason for that is it's reminding us of the importance of covering all of the limbs. When one makes wudu, they have to cover the limb completely with water. If there's any spaces that the water didn't touch, then the water will be invalid. So the Prophet ﷺ, he's reminding us in this hadith that to isbal, in Arabic, it means to cover something completely. And this is when we read about Sulaiman alayhi salam, he used to make sabirat. You know what sabirat refers to? The shields. Sulaiman alayhi salam, he used to make the shields. And it's something that covers a person in the battlefield. And it has that same meaning. Also Allah says, Sibghatullah, right? When Allah is talking about Islam, Sibghatullah means it's something that covers all affairs of life. Sibghatullah is something that covers one, all affairs in life. So sabir, the word sabagh, it means to cover something completely. And we also see the word was used when a woman, she asked the Prophet ﷺ, can I pray wearing a dress
just a dress and a scarf. She didn't have the underskirt on. So we said, yes, if it's sabiq over your feet, if it covers the top of your feet. So this again, it shows you the meaning of sabiq is to cover completely, to make sure that it's covered completely without leaving anything uncovered or without being covered with water. And so the ulama, they say that from the condition of the wudu to be valid, the water has to touch the entire limb that is being rinsed, especially the four obligatory parts of the wudu, what are called the arkan of wudu. If you remember, we talked about last time. Does anybody remember? What are the four obligatory parts of the wudu? It's mentioned in the Quran. Yes? The one, فَغْسَلُوا وُجُوهَكُمْ وَأَيْدِيَكُمْ إِلَى الْمَرَافِقِ وَامْسَحُوا بِرُؤُوسِكُمْ وَأَرْجُلَكُمْ إِلَى الْكَعْبَيْنِ. Your face, the face has to be covered completely. If any parts are left dry, then the wudu will not be valid. One has to repeat the wudu. The same thing with the arms, up to the elbows. And we mentioned last time, completely covering the elbows, and also the hair. The hair has to be wiped completely. It doesn't have to be washed, because Allah says, وَامْسَحُوا. And then the feet up to the ankles. And the feet also are very important. And once there was a battle, and the Prophet ﷺ, he saw some Sahaba, they made wudu, but there was a dry spot on their feet. So he said, وَيْلٌ لِلْعَقَابِ مِنَ النَّارِ. He said, cursed be the heels from the hellfire. Meaning that those parts that weren't covered with the wudu, they are not protected from the fire. So even those small spots on the feet, they have to be, one should be careful to wrap the hand to make sure that the water reaches and it covers the complete foot. And based on this, some of the ulama, they say that you even have to rub every part of the body. This is the if you ever heard of the Maliki school, Imam Malik, he said that the limbs, not only do they have to be covered, but you should also rub it to make sure the water, it gets to every part of the body. But the other ulama, the Jumhur, the majority of scholars, they say you don't have to rub it as long as the water reaches. And that's why we wash three times, to make sure that the water, the first time maybe we missed a spot, two, three times, to make sure that the wudu, it covers the limb completely, water reaches the body completely. But Imam Malik went so far as saying that you even have to rub every part of the body in the wudu, and even in the ghusl. And he said, as far as your hands can reach. If there's a place your hands cannot reach, you don't have to cover that. But it's wherever the hands reach, that Imam Malik said, one should rub that part of the limb. So this hadith, it is a reminder to perfect one's wudu, to take one's time. If one's rushing in the wudu, then the wudu will not be perfected. It won't have the isbal. There will be spots that are missing. So one should take one's time and not be too fast in it. The next part of the hadith, the Prophet ﷺ, he said, وَخَلِّلْ بَيْنَ الْأَصَابِعِ. خَلِّلْ in Arabic, it means two things that are very close to each other. We have, for example, خَلِيل الرَّحْمَن, the close friend of the Merciful One. Does anybody know who it was?
Ibrahim
alayhi salam. His name, his kunya, or his nickname was the Khalil, the close friend of the Merciful One. And also you have the takhlil, it comes from the word literally in Arabic, that it's a type of wood that they used to clean between the teeth. So it doesn't leave, anything that would come between the teeth, it would be used to remove it. So Khalil is, what it means is that something, yukhallil, is to come between the fingers and remove the impurity or the dirt or the sweat that gets caught between the fingers, in the spaces of the fingers. This is especially important for the feet, because the feet, the spaces between the toes, they get sweat and oil in between them. And if that builds up, then it clogs the pores and it can become harmful to a person. As you know, if somebody wears socks and shoes all day, it becomes smelly in those parts. So the ulama, they say, how do we clean between the toes of the feet? They say to use the left pinky finger. The left pinky finger to clean between the toes of the feet. Why the left hand? not the right hand, only the left hand. Because it's something that's not clean, right? Yeah. When anything that is not clean, we're encouraged to use the left hand. You know, just like when you're cleaning from the bathroom or anything that is unclean, we should use the left hand. So the left finger, not the right finger. And also, they say the pinky finger, because it's small and it's able to reach into the small areas and it's easy to use between the toes of the feet. So this is part of the correctness of the wudu, to clean in between the toes. You see how Islam pays attention to hygiene more than any other religion. Even today, we don't have this concept of cleaning between the toes, even today in the West. How every wudu, one must clean and make sure that the feet are clean between the toes with the left pinky finger. As for cleaning between the hands, the scholars, they say either any way that it's done. You can use the right hand over the left hand from the back or from the front. Any way that you can get in between the fingers. Again, this is part of hygiene. Sometimes you eat food and impurities get in between the fingers. This could lead to bacteria and other things. And you see how Islam has required us in every prayer to clean, for every wudu, that we should clean in between the fingers. And sometimes we make wudu 5 times a day or even more. Somebody might repeat the wudu or pray sunnah prayers. So almost so many times a day, the Muslim is cleaning between his limbs, between his toes, washing his mouth. And as we'll see now, also, the person would clean the nose. And again, this is part of the hygiene, the high civilization of Islam, cleaning the nose. And listen to this, this is very, very interesting, that the Prophet ﷺ, he said, istinshaq. Istinshaq, it means to inhale water into the nasal passage, into the nose and into the sinus, and then to blow it out, istinfar. Istinshaq is the inhaling, istinfar is blowing it out. Now, subhanAllah, the nose, the wisdom of cleaning the nose is the passage of air. And the doctors, they'll tell you that breathing through the nose is healthier for the body. And the reason for that is the nose, when you breathe air through the nose, it has hair in the nose that filters pollutants in the air. It filters out dust particles and it cleanses the air that you're breathing into the body. Then after it passes the air, it passes through the first level of filtering through the hair. If any dust is there, it gets caught on the mucus inside of the nose. So the mucus, it captures the particles and the dust and the dirt and the pollens in the nose. And this is why we see some people, they get, their nose is very sensitive from that. And then even inside the sinuses, there's another layer of fluid or mucus that captures the dirt, and the air that one is breathing, it becomes filtered through all these stages. And beyond that, another, subhanAllah, the function of the nasal is if the air is very hot or very cold, the sinuses will acclimate the air so that it enters the lungs in a suitable temperature. If you're in a very cold place, you breathe the air through the nose, it warms the air before it goes directly into the lungs. And if you breathe from the mouth, then that cold air will go directly into the lungs and cause harm. So the nose, it filters the air, it removes the dirt particles through the hair and the mucus and then the sinuses, and it causes the air to reach a suitable temperature. Now, and the nose, it is always open. One is always breathing in and out through the nose, whereas the mouth, if it's dirty, he can close it. But whenever one's in a dusty or a dirty place, the nose is going to have a buildup of this dirt and particles. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in His great wisdom, and we see that in order to clean these filters in one's nose, and if the dirt builds up, that dirt can cause harm into the nasal cavity. It could cause infection, or it can cause the filters to stop working. So in Allah's wisdom that He taught us through Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that we repeat throughout the day this cleansing this important part of the human body, that we breathe the water in order to remove the dirt that's on the hair and remove the mucus and cleanse that part of the body so that it can continue to function in a proper way, in a good way, in a hygienic and healthy way. We do this not just once a day or once a week, 5 times or perhaps more every day. The Muslim is taking care of this important part of the body, cleansing it and making sure that it will lead to him having better health and stronger hygiene. SubhanAllah. And then the other part of the body, which is the mouth, by which food and air comes into the body and drink, the Muslim has to rinse it 3 times, rinse it before the salah. The Prophet ﷺ said, use the siwak, brush the teeth. He said, if I didn't fear that it would be too hard for my ummah, I would have told them use the siwak for every salah, or for every wudu. So emphasizing the hygiene, again, of cleaning the mouth and the teeth, which is something that the West didn't learn until hundreds of years later, 1,000 years later, 14 centuries later, now the West is learning about the importance of what they call oral hygiene. Something that Islam taught 14 centuries ago. And from this point, I'd like to draw attention to the beauty of Islam and its completeness. The West, the more that they study civilization and the more they increase in civility, the more they will follow the path to Islam. Nowadays we hear about Health Awareness Week, about oral care, the National Health Day, but after 14 centuries they've begun to pay attention to cleansing the mouth and to cleansing the body and to paying attention to these passageways through which food and drink reach the body. The Prophet ﷺ, the Messenger of Allah, he paid attention to this from the very beginning of his message. It is a part of preparing for every prayer. And a person performs ablutions perhaps 5 times a day or more. And thus, the attention that Islam pays to hygiene and cleanliness, which the West has only recently begun to realize, is a powerful and clear proof that Islam is a pioneer. Islam was pioneering in the development of civilization and health far ahead of any other civilization, who only reached such a realization after centuries and even millennia. And so based on this, beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, this hadith is a flag bearer of the Sunnah. And at the same time, it is a miracle from the miracles of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It shows us how much attention Islam pays to preventative medicine, to preventing the illness before it happens, how much Islam teaches us to maintain our health and our bodies, and to prevent any disease or any illness before it comes about. And so this, beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, should make us realize and reaffirm the truth of Islam, the miraculous nature of this message, that it has been sent for all of humanity for all of time. All goodness is in following the Sharia, all success and all happiness. And this is a message not only to Muslims, but to the whole world, that if the world is to achieve true happiness in both spheres, in the worldly sphere and in the spiritual sphere, in this world and in the Akhirah, in the dunya, in this world and in the afterlife, then such happiness will come about through following the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and through learning about the Sharia of Islam, which has been sent as a mercy to all of humanity. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. Allah says about the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you have not been sent except as a mercy for all of humanity. So all of those people who do not understand the Sharia of Islam, those who have not studied If they look at a hadith, like the hadith we have today, about the cleansing of the body, it should be a realization to them that the Sharia of Islam is not as it has been portrayed in the media, as something that is harmful and evil to harm people or to kill those who do not follow the message of Islam. This is not what Sharia means. Sharia came to bring humanity to its highest and best form, to raise humanity from ignorance, from impurity, from dirtiness and bad character, from harming, killing innocent children, as what took place before the message of Islam. The Sharia came to raise humanity up to its best form, where we see as it was embodied in the lifetime of the Prophet ﷺ and his Sahaba. These people who used to be the herdsmen of camels and shepherds, of goats and sheep, they were transformed into heroes, into noble characters that history has never seen the like of ever again. We just study the example of Umar ibn al-Khattab or any of the other Sahaba, and it brings tears to the eyes, the sincerity and the nobility that these human beings embodied. The world has never seen their likes, and perhaps will never see their likes ever again. May Allah be pleased with them. May Allah have mercy upon them. And may Allah help us to convey the true message of Islam to the world. أَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَأَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهِ لِي وَلَكُمْ يَا فَوْزُ الْمُسْتَغْفِرِينَ وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَى سَيِّدِنَا مُحَمَّدٍ وآله وصحبه وسلم والحمد لله رب العالمين. Any other questions? Yes. Yes, the majority of scholars, they say if a person touches the private part, whether it's a male or female, whether his own or to another person, whether it's an adult or a child, then this nullifies the wudu. So the person, they should repeat the wudu, inshallah. If somebody's making ghusl, for example, and they touch the private parts, then they should repeat the wudu. Some of the ulama, they say it's only with the inside palm of the hand. Then the one has to repeat the wudu, inshallah. Any other questions, inshallah? Khair, inshallah. Wa jazakumullahu khair. May Allah reward you. Staying with sallallahu alayhi wa Muhammad wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. May Allah bless you with the knowledge and bless all of us and increase us much in ilm. And inshallah, before you go, give salam to six people today, inshallah.